We're going to turn to a passage in Matthew 20. Get it right, Matthew 20 in a second. But first of all, let's pray, and then I need your help. So let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are a God who speaks to us, your children, today. And we thank you for this chance to look at one of the stories your son Jesus told when he was on this earth. We pray that we might listen, and we pray that we might learn more about you and what it means to follow you through this story today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's a well-known fact that I love fruit, okay? And I can't get enough of fruit. I mean, forget just five items a day. I'm often 10 or 20, okay? And recently I've had people out picking grapes for me because grapes are really good, because just one of those individual grapes, and that counts apparently as one of your fruit each day. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? So I've had people out picking fruit for me, and somebody managed to get two whole punnets of grapes. Somebody just one. Somebody fell against, a vine, and that fell off. And then somebody very kindly picked me a grape. Okay. And what I want to do is I want to pay them. I want to pay them for what they've picked for me. So I've got my month's salary here, £4, and what I want to do is use this money fairly to pay these very kind people who've picked me grapes. £4, that's all I've got. And I think probably, well, this is one way of doing it. See what you think. I'm going to ask you what you think in a few moments' time. So somebody picked me two punnets full, and I think that probably deserves £2. So £2 to that very kind person. One punnet, probably, £1. And I've got another pound left, and to be honest, they clearly don't deserve it, do they? I mean, just one grape. So this pound is going to go to the there's a good, 10, 12 there. Okay? Do you think that's a fair way, as fair as they can possibly get in distributing that sort of money? Put your hand up if you think that's pretty fair. Pretty fair. Everybody's got a vote. Okay, there's only one option. So you think that's pretty fair? Okay, thank you. What about this way around? I've got my £4. I've got my four grape pickers. What if I did this? I think a pound for Mr. Two Punnets there. A pound for the very kind person that got me one. A pound for the little branch, very little branch. And a pound for the person who got me one grape. How are we doing on fairness there? Anybody think that's a fair thing to do? That's the right sort of answer. I'll see you afterwards. Okay, we're going to read a story where something as unfair as that happened. The story we're going to look at that Jesus told thousands of years ago is a story where something as unfair as me paying each of those people a pound happened. I want you to listen in as we find out together what was so unfair in this story. If you haven't got the page already, it is page 696 of the Bibles you should find near you. Do open it up, 696, and down in the bottom left-hand corner, you'll find the story we're going to look at today. It's called The Parable of the Workers in the Vineyard. It's about a number of people who spent their time picking grapes like these. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You may also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one's hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And you have made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious? Because I am generous. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Imagine you're one of the people in that story who started picking grapes right at the beginning of the day, and the weather in the sort of area that you were picking grapes was like this last week, but worse. And you have been picking the whole day. You have picked 2 punnets. You've picked far more than that. And then suddenly at the end of the day, when the money's been given out, you get exactly the same pay as somebody who's done the equivalent of picking 1 little grape. Who here would think that is fair? If you're one of those people right at the beginning, you've got a track record, which means I'm ignoring you. Who here would think that's fair? It's not fair at all, is it? We'd be ringing our trade union if we had one. We'd be causing a right fuss if we were those people. And there's a real shock in this story, and the shock is this, that the landowner, the person who is not being paid fair, the person that people are complaining about, is the person that represents God in this story. So this story is telling us that God is, according to our human standards, he is being unfair. He is being unfair. What's God being unfair about according to our human standards? Well, in this part of Matthew's gospel, there's a whole series of conversations, there's a whole series of stories like this, where Jesus is telling people listening how they can become his followers, how they can become his friends, how they can live with him forever, how they can be part of what he calls the kingdom of heaven. And one of the big points of this parable is saying how you become one of Jesus' friends, how you become part of the kingdom of heaven, it isn't fair. It isn't fair according to normal human standards, what we would normally expect. It is not based on what you do for God. It is not based on how many years you have worked hard for him. It is not based on how little you've done for him. No, it is due to God's generosity. And our normal standards of fairness, well, they don't really come into it at all. God has very different rules to you, very different rules to me. We're going to think, aren't we? We already think that God, if God's like the landowner in this story, that's not really fair. And just to spell that out, and just to help us to see the shock, what Jesus is saying here is that you can be somebody who spent your life with a Bible telling people about Jesus, who's gone abroad, who's spent their life away from family and friends, doing the really hard work of telling people about Jesus. You can do that, and you will get the same reward of being part of the kingdom of heaven in the same way that somebody who basically spent their whole life being very mean. So the sort of person that would get a water pistol and would do this. And would do, oh, it's empty. But somebody who was mean, somebody who'd go around causing real damage to people's lives, not with a water pistol, but with a real gun. You can be somebody like that and spend most of your life rejecting Jesus and then come to know him at the end and still get into heaven in exactly the same way as the person who spent the whole of their lives telling people about Jesus. Getting into heaven is not how much work you have done for God. It's not how much work you've done for God. It is not fair, says Jesus, in that sense. So it's quite a hard thing that Jesus is saying in these verses today. You can have worked for Jesus the whole of your life. You could have worked for Jesus just for the last week of your life. And you both, as it were, get into heaven in exactly the same way. Does that sound fair? according to the sort of normal ways of thinking about it, what we normally expect? No, it doesn't, does it? Does it sound like good news to you? Well, not really. To hear that our Father God isn't really fair, that sounds like really, really bad news, doesn't it? That sounds like some of the worst news we've perhaps ever heard. But when we begin to think like that, and when we begin to think that, hey, perhaps after all, God isn't fair because he lets people who haven't done much for him into heaven, we need to listen to what he says to the people that complain in this story. Because there are people in this story who are exactly like us, who are really cross with him, who think he's going against all the rules. Do you notice what he said to them? Look down at verse 15. This is how our Father God responds to our complaint. If we say he's not being fair, he says to us, "Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" That's what the landowner in this story says to people that complain. That's what God would say to us if we're complaining today. One of the things we need to understand about this story is that the landowner has actually been really, really generous. A denarius was a good wage for a day of grape picking. And in fact, the fact that there were so many people unemployed meant that he could have lowered the wage because that's what he could have got away with. But he doesn't. He pays them all a proper salary. He also really generously keeps on recruiting throughout the day. He doesn't seem to need more grape pickers, but he keeps getting people in to pick grapes so that they can earn a living. And it was his money. It was his money to do what he wanted with, and he uses it in this story to be generous to people. And Jesus' point is that God is generous too. But God is generous because, even more generous, because he's not just the landowner. He's not just the landowner. God isn't just the landowner because he also owns us. Because he not only owns this world, but he created us, which means that he owns you. He owns you. And he owns me. And as a result, he owes us nothing. And as a result, he can do what he wants with us. Which is why it's really, really amazing that he is so generous to all of us. To every single one of us that want to work for him. Because one of the things you'll know that the Bible keeps saying again and again and again is that none of us deserve to be his friend. That none of us should live with him forever. That none of us really have really won our place in the kingdom of heaven. But that wonderfully, amazingly, he generously lets us all in. He lets in missionaries who spent their lives telling people about the Lord Jesus, but who have also spent much of their lives rebelling against him. He also lets in people who have spent their lives being mean to people, not just with water pistols, but with worse. If they turn to him, he will let them in too, despite their rebellion against him. And all people that Jesus lets into his kingdom get the same experience of life with him forever, of perfect friendship in a perfect world for the rest of time. You don't have to have worked for a certain period of time to, as it were, get that reward. It's not too late if it's right at the end of your life, or if you feel you spent so much of your life rebelling against him. Now, there's the same deal for all of us here. Whether you've been a Christian here for 60 years or 6 weeks, or if you're not a Christian here at all, the same deal is on the table. Start working for Jesus, start working for God, and you'll get the same reward, heaven, life with Jesus in a perfect place forever. And that means that this story, though, first of all, it sounds really unfair. Although, first of all, it sounds like really bad news. It's actually the best news ever. It's really good news for you if you're not a Christian, because it tells you that it is not too late. That perhaps as you look back at your life and you think of all the things you've done and you think of all the ways in which you've rejected God and you think, I'm never going to be able to earn the brownie points that, as it were, wipe all that out and, as it were, give me a clean slate. If you think like that, you don't need to worry. Turn to work for him now and you get to be his friend. And you get to be his friend forever. It's good news for you. It's not too late to start working for him. You can do that today. And you will gain the same reward as people in this room who've been working for him for 60 years. It's great news for you. But it's also great news for all of us who are Christians here today. It is not about earning brownie points. Because we slip into that sort of thinking today, don't we, as well. And that is really good news because the danger is, I suppose, a lot of us think of ourselves as the people that have been working right from the beginning of the day. You know, the really hard done by people. When the reality is, if we think about it carefully, we have all taken pretty long breaks. I've eaten most of the grapes I was supposed to be passing on to Jesus. And there have been many times when, to be honest, any other landowner would have had me sacked. But because God is generous, because God is kind, because God doesn't stick to our normal rules, I get to go to heaven too. I get to be Jesus' friend forever. This is brilliant news if you're not a Christian, but it's also brilliant news if you are a Christian too. And so, we've just basically been told today that it is good news that God isn't fair. But that he is generous. But that he's generous and kind and loving and gracious. That he's not up in heaven counting up the number of hours we've done. But he's saying, come home. Come home to me today. Everyone in this room who's willing to work for him can be his friend. Everybody in this room who is willing to work for him can live with him forever. Anybody in this room who's willing to work for him can be part of what he calls wonderfully the kingdom of heaven. Let's praise him for that. Father God, I want to thank you that you're not fair according to our rules. That wonderfully, that amazingly, that you are not, as it were, counting up our hours, but that you are willing to let anybody that wants to work for you and follow you into your kingdom forever, whatever they've done, however long or how little they've worked for you. Father God, that shows you to be so generous, more generous than anybody else we know. And we thank you for that now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ed, can I invite you back up to help us with some of these questions? So lots of good questions. I think quite a few of them fit into kind of two, kind of come on, there's roughly two kind of big questions, so I'll try and do those. I'll try and kind of sum a few up. Several people ask this question. Elsewhere in the Bible, doesn't it say that Christians receive different rewards according to how they've lived their Christian lives? So how can that be true? And apparently here we're told everyone gets the same.
Yeah, I think this is talking in some ways about, perhaps the most helpful way of putting it, it's sort of the basic entry requirements into heaven. You would get into heaven based on God's generosity to us and God's grace to us. That's made really clear in the sense of all these different people who've done different stuff getting the same rewards. So when it comes to thinking, you know, will I get to heaven? Will I be part of the new created world that God sort of will one day bring the renewal of all things, as it was described last week? Well, that's down to God's generosity. And as it were, we all get in. And that's what this parable is all about. That's the point it's making, that God is generous. And then, as it were, according to human standards, he's not fair. But as the people who ask this question point out, there are Bible passages that say that when we're there, as it were, having done that sort of basic entry requirement, there will be different experiences of heaven, different rewards. I think that can also be true without it being contradictory, because as it were, the basic entry requirements are the same, but there will be potentially different rewards. Well, the Bible says there will be different rewards and experiences of heaven. But here we're talking about, as it were, the basic entry requirement, and when it comes to God letting us in, he won't be saying to, you know, Sim Gemmett, you can go in, you gave loads and loads of hours and hard work. Ed Shaw, be honest, you only gave 5 minutes at the end of your life. He'll be saying, come on into both of us.
Brilliant. Thank you. That's helpful. And another question kind of related to that is, how can God be just, which the Bible tells us he's just, and unfair?
Yeah, because he can be just, and we can see it as unfair, because our definition of justice isn't that good often. So actually, you know, God is just according to his great, timeless, perfect standards of justice, which sometimes contradict our own little, narrow sort of visions of justice. And this is a time when he's been just, but we think it's unfair. Another way of approaching that question would be to say, well, ooh, how can he let people in and, you know, who spend their lives being mean to people and be just? And, of course, the great answer to that is the cross. So, you know, the sin that should keep us all out of his new heaven and new earth is paid for by Jesus. That would be another way of doing that question.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ed. Have you got, we want to keep talking about these things as we head home and families together and in small groups later. Have you got a kind of big key question? What's a key question we can ask as we head home to help us reflect on these things?
Yeah, why is it good news that God isn't fair according to our standards? Why is God's sort of unfairness, as we first read this story, good news for us, good news for you, good news for me?
Brilliant. Thanks, Ed. We're going to turn to God and ask his help to live some of these things out in the week ahead. So let's bow our heads and I'll lead us in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you've spoken to us today as we've read your word and as Ed has preached it to us. Father, we ask that the word we've heard today wouldn't just go from our minds as we leave here today, but would take root in our lives. Please help us to live this week in light of the fact that you are generous. You're not always like we expect. You're not always fair like we expect, but you're good. Please help us to remember that and to reflect that in the way that we live this week.